All right, good morning. So this guy was stopped by the police. And he says, the police says, "You were speeding." "Yes," he says, "I know." And he says, "Why are you speeding?" "Well, I'm just trying to keep up with the traffic," he says. The police says, "There is no traffic." He says, "That's the point, I'm trying to catch up." All right, so this morning, we want to continue with soul realignment. Realignment implies that it was realigned at one time, that it was an alignment at one time. Adam and Eve, when they were in the Garden of Eden, their souls were aligned with God perfectly. Everything was in perfect harmony with God the Father. We know when they sin, God says you will die, and that part died. And since then, mankind has had a human nature, has had a selfish nature, self-focused nature, all about themselves. So we now need to realign our souls with the Word of God and with heaven or the Holy Spirit. So let's focus on that this morning, and I'm going to focus primarily on the filter that I've been talking about for several weeks, the filter that keeps us from being renewed automatically, or often being renewed when we're even trying to be renewed. There's a filter there. And to start with this morning, I wanted to read the first two verses out of Romans 12. It says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." And verse 2, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." So renewing of the mind is changing the way we think, the way we look at things. That is really the only difference between a Christian's way of thinking and a non-Christian's way of thinking, is the way we look at things. And so let's just pray, and then we're going to get right into the Word. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are here. I thank you that you care for each one that is present this morning. You are keenly interested in their lives. You are perfectly aware of what is going on in their lives, whether it's been difficult or easy or fun or bad. Lord, I pray you would minister to each one individually as the need is this morning. Those that are sad, encourage them, Lord. Those that need strength, strengthen them, Lord, so that we can walk this life in the way you have planned it for us. So, Lord, we just give this service to you and pray that your Spirit would guide and direct each mind individually. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So how does a renewed mind get changed? How does it get renewed? Why isn't a believer automatically renewed in his mind? If we again refer that to this as our spirit, our head as our spirit, our soul and our body. Why is our soul not automatically renewed when we are born again? You might have the same struggles to an extent afterwards as before. Why don't they go away quickly? In some cases they do. Some cases they don't. And you have to deal with it later as well. And so this morning we're going to focus on that sieve or the colander that I see is restricting our belief. Our spirit is always connected with God perfectly. Always. It is never in confusion. It's never in doubt. It's always in perfect harmony with God the Father. And so why doesn't that transfer down into my soul? Why do I still have habits that I have to deal with? Why do I still have temptations that are not godly? Why am I tempted with ungodly things that, as a born-again believer, when my spirit is perfectly born again in harmony with God, why is there such a divide between here and here? And so let's look at that this morning. If Adam and Eve in the beginning when they were created, they had no sieve. They were wide open. They were wide open to God. They heard him every day. They walked in the garden. They talked. They were wide open. And God says, if you eat from that tree, you will die. And they did. So that openness died. And after that, man became selfish. So we are, our nature is very selfish. And in that selfishness, we have to renew our mind. It's a conscious decision to renew our mind. It doesn't happen by itself. If we could take God's word at face value, if we had no filter, if we could take God's word at face value and believe it and trust it, we would be totally renewed. We would be in alignment with heaven. Our thinking would be in alignment with God, with his word. There would be no problems. But if we look at our personal lives and we look at the lives of people around us, we see there's a struggle. There's a constant struggle to do what is right. It's not automatic. For Adam and Eve in the beginning, it was automatic. There was nothing to take them from being good. They were all good and holy. And our sieve is made up of what we believe. So when the Holy Spirit wants to talk to my soul, some of the things that the Spirit wants to tell me is not coming through the sieve, because my belief system doesn't allow for it. So as I read the Word of God, as I spend time with the Lord, I get input from the Holy Spirit. The Spirit wants to guide you. It says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So the New Testament clearly tells us that we are called to be followers of the Holy Spirit. It's very, very clear. And yet so often we find ourselves not following the Holy Spirit. We're following our own desires, our own sinful natures, you could say. So our sieve is made up of what we believe, what you have accepted to be truth for you. That's your sieve. If you have what you have been taught, what you've seen by example, right from a young child on, 1 year old, 2 years old, 3 years old, it starts forming. By the age of five, it's largely formed. By the age of 10, they would tell us, or 7 or 10, it's 80-90% there. We have seen what we have seen, and we have formed a belief system of what we think is right and what is wrong. So that is what's between us and the Holy Spirit. And so our friends have had input, our culture has had input, your preachers that you've listened to have had input, the Holy Spirit has had input. Hopefully you've read the Word and you've sensed the Holy Spirit telling you what to do and you've said yes. Sometimes we say we're not sure if it's safe. So let me give you an example of a wrong teaching that is very prevalent in our day that makes up a sieve. Many churches will tell you, and many people will tell you, that we no longer need the Holy Spirit. We just need the Bible. Because we know the Bible is an inspired word of God, therefore they say, we just need the Bible. We don't need the Holy Spirit. And with that mindset, you become legalistic very quickly. And you read the Word of God and it says, hey, we can't do this. You did this, you did wrong. And it becomes a legalistic mindset instead of flowing constantly from a renewed mind. So if we've been taught that we don't need the Holy Spirit, we just need the Word of God, then there is a number of things that are not going to function in life. Generally speaking, this Bible gives you all the principles to live by. It tells you to love God, to love man. It tells you everything, how to treat each other. But it doesn't tell me the day today for today. If I'm supposed to go see Jack and pray for him, where do I find Jack in here? Where do I find that on this day I'm supposed to go pray for Jack? It doesn't say that. So the day-to-day guidance needs to come from the Holy Spirit. Even though the principles of the Bible are all there for us to live by. And the Word teaches us, the New Testament from beginning to end, The Holy Spirit will guide you. It will guide you to all truth. He'll comfort you. He'll be with you. He'll never leave you. It's a constant from beginning to the end of the New Testament. But we have been taught that the Holy Spirit is no longer needing to teach us or to guide us, then I won't ask for the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit then tries to tell me something, I will say, no, I have the Bible. And so, for example, if you think of prophecy or your word of wisdom or a word of knowledge, they're not needed. And they will tell you this. If you talk to people, they'll tell you, we don't need that. We just need the Bible. And they're partially true and partially wrong. But a teaching like that creates a sieve where I block the Holy Spirit's input. And I'm a believer. I believe the Bible very strongly. I read the Bible. But it can't come through to my soul. We live out of the soul. Holy Spirit is up here. We live from the soul or our heart. That's where we live. And so if it blocks something like a wrong teaching can block us. Or I can be living in rebellion towards God or towards man. It's also a blocker. So we have a lot of different blockers in our life. And often we interpret God or the Holy Spirit or even the Bible by how we live. But what I'm experiencing, that's very limited. And so we need to go back to the Bible and let the Bible wash us by the washing of the water, by the word, it says. As we read, it washes over us and it refines us. And as we read the word, we can read and we say, oh, I'm supposed to love my brother. I don't like him. What do I do? So there's conflict. And so that we know that this is the truth, and how can I align my soul with the truth? So a lot of teachings in the Bible, in the New Testament even, won't have any influence on you unless you open yourself up to the Holy Spirit. And you open yourself up to saying that God is a righteous God, I am not. God is a holy God, I am not holy. God, I want to be taught by you. And let the word of God teach you as you read it. By the washing of the water of the word, it says. And so that's how we renew our mind, our soul, constantly. It's not something that we do at one time and it's done. It's a continual washing. Continual washing. And so people who operate with a renewed mind operate under totally different dynamics, totally different rules than an unrenewed mind. They operate under the mind of the Holy Spirit. Unrenewed mind is closed to itself and may have become legalistic. John 12:25 says, he that loves his life will lose it. And he that does not love his life will find it. It simply means that we are giving up with our own nature and we are accepting God's plan for my life, not my own. So if I'm letting go of my own desires and my own wishes and my own selfish nature, then I have room for God to speak to me. That's really, in essence, what it is saying. So we make our decisions from our soul. What I think, what I have adopted as truth, that is truth to me. The question is, how much of your truth is really truth according to this book? That's the question. I can be misled by teaching. I can be misled by people that I look up to. I can be misled by them and believe it to be true. That's what the Bible refers to as strongholds. Whatever you believe to be true in your life, if that is a lie, that becomes a stronghold, and that's what you live by. That becomes part of you. So a healthy believer must be quick to unlearn what he has learned, quick to unlearn what he has thought to be true. If he reads this book, or if the Holy Spirit talks to him and he finds something different in this book than what you're believing, then quickly change it. Quickly change it and align with this book. That's how we renew our mind. It has to be renewed to God's way of thinking. And don't pout and say, well, I've always believed this and it's got to be right. And this is what my friend told me. It's got to be right. No, just relax. A renewed mind is an open mind to God. Close to evil, close to the enemy, but open to God. So it's that sieve that keeps us from being renewed. That's why there are many believers who don't believe. They think they can pray the prayer of salvation and that's it. They don't have to continue growing. They don't have to continue living a Christian life to people and towards God. They think that's it. Just pray the prayer and you're saved. And they believe they're eternally saved just by praying the prayer. And yet they live a very unfulfilled life because their soul is not renewed. Their soul doesn't line up with the book, with the Bible. Unforgiveness or hatred or bitterness can block you from hearing God. Here's a quote that I've adopted from Bill Johnson. He says it like this: God can only give you a revelation if you have a place to put it. God can only give you a revelation if you have a place to put it. So if God wants to reveal something to you and you don't accept it, that means you don't have a place to put it. If I'm spiritually minded and if I understand God and His Word, then I'm prepared for a revelation that lines up with this book. It may not be written word for word in this book, but the revelation will line up with the principles of this book every time. Every time. So if I don't have a place to put it, that means my soul has not been renewed. And God can't use me in that realm at this point. It doesn't mean I'm necessarily lost. It just means that God can't use me in that way today. So because I'm restricted. Paul says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. There's a difference between the spirit and the soul. Very big difference. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So study. Study. A person who doesn't study, he never reads, he remains ignorant. And let's not be like that. 2 Timothy 2:5 says, it's kind of an interesting verse. It says, and also if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. So you can have your own mind, you can have your own will, and be very eager to do what you think is right, but if you don't go according to the rules, you won't be crowned. That's where it says, all your works will be tested, and some will be burned away. But those that are built with gold, silver, and precious stone will remain. Let me give you an example this morning of a man who did something that he was not taught to do. He had never done this before, and yet he was totally convinced this is what he's supposed to do. David in the Bible, when he came to his brothers at Eli, and they were at a standstill between the Philistines and the Israelites, it says David came to his brothers, and his brothers mocked him. And David immediately says, hey, look at Goliath, what he's saying. He's mocking the children of God, the Israelites. He says, this can't be allowed. Well, no, they say it can't be allowed, but no one dares to go up against Goliath. And David says, then I will go. And they said, you're a little boy. As scholars will tell you, he was 15 or younger. He was a young boy. And so David says, I will go. God is on my side. I will go. And his brothers and even the king Saul said, you're too young. You have not been trained. They even tried to put the armor on him, and he says, too heavy, I can't move. He took it all off. There was a lot at stake here. If David would have lost, the Israelites would have become slaves to the Philistines. So there was a lot at stake here. So when they saw this 15-year-old boy walking down that into that brook towards the Philistines, they were very, very nervous. They thought they were this close to becoming slaves. So this was a big deal. It was not such a small, quick decision. And so David went down as a 15-year-old boy, totally convinced that he would win, having never fought in a war. How is that possible? How could David be so prepared mentally to fight this giant. Do you know what David did to prepare? He sat in the field with a harp, herding sheep, making up songs. He had done it for so many years, I'm not sure how many years. And now he comes out and he's ready to fight Goliath. That is an amazing story. Think about it. He got ready in the field by himself, singing. And he learned that God was on his side. He learned to trust God. This is before the Holy Spirit was poured out. He learned that God loved him and he could trust him. He had a tremendous trust in God at 15 years old. And it says he went down to the brook, picked up a couple of stones. Goliath mocks him. He was totally confident. How can a man who's never been in war be so confident in God when his older brothers and the king himself says, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. You're a small boy. You have no experience. Look at Goliath. He spent time with God. He played the harp, made up songs. And he became the mightiest warrior of all Israel. You and I can become very, very mighty for God by renewing our soul. David's soul was being renewed as he played songs, made up songs for the Lord. He worshiped. He worshiped. And he became a very, very mighty warrior. He renewed his mind. He was thinking the way God thought. That's in essence what happened. He was thinking the way God thought. He trusted, and he had the Old Testament, I guess, but not the New Testament. And even most of the New Testament wasn't even there. They knew some of the prophets, but he knew very little compared to us today. And yet he was totally confident. That is amazing, absolutely amazing. You and I are not limited by our experience, but we are limited by our renewed soul. I'll say that again. You and I are not limited by our experience, but we are limited by our renewed or lack of it soul. To the level that you know God, to the level that you understand this word, to the level that you know in your heart who God is, dictates what you will do in life or can do in life today. Just look at David. He had never fought a war. Ever. And yet he won. Because he believed God. His brothers didn't. They didn't trust God at all. So my level of victory in my life, my level of being able to love you, to love my enemies, my level of being able to forgive easily and to is dictated by my soul. If my soul has been renewed, if I allowed God to wash me with the word, I can actually be a person who can forgive easily, who can love easily, who walks in victory as a believer. And yet so many believers are not. They're full of hatred. I've talked to a number of them just lately. They're full of rage and hatred. And yet they say they're believers. They're Christians. When a soul is not renewed, a person is very limited what he can do for God. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of God, Christ, dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let it dwell in you richly in all wisdom. I read these verses last Sunday in 2 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17. It said, we have a veil over our eyes. We can't see clearly. But it says, but when you know the Lord, it says, the veil is taken away. And then verse 17 says, now the Lord is that Spirit that takes the veil away from your eyes. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's liberty. A renewed mind. Let me back up a bit. this verse has been a very negative verse in many churches. That word liberty, because then they will say, okay, so you can do what you want. You can live in sin. A renewed mind does not live in sin. A renewed mind does not live in sin. That's part of a renewed mind, because it's renewed to the word, not to my own way of thinking. But he says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We are at liberty to live for him. We're at liberty to live for him. And we are wide open to what the Holy Spirit gives to us. That sieve is wide open. It takes a lot of trust to open that sieve. Many people cannot open it. They open, they have small holes. They're scared to make the holes bigger, because what if the Holy Spirit is going to mislead them? What if what I'm hearing is from the enemy? What if God all of a sudden tells me the wrong thing? It says, if you ask for the Holy Spirit, will your Father give you a scorpion? Will he give you something negative when you're asking for something good? So we have to have a basic trust in God and the Father in order for us to dare open our sieve and say, Lord, I'm going to receive of you. And here I am. I'm listening. And whatever I sense you telling me, I can always go back to the word and see if it lines up with the principles of the word, if you're in doubt. But it's a basic trust that we need to receive and to have our soul renewed. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, meditate day and night. It says, they that wait upon the Lord shall what? Be renewed? That's right. So our thought life controls our life. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of life. Guard your heart, your soul. In other words, it's saying, watch out what you believe. Make sure that what you believe is actually scriptural. It's actually lines up with God's word. If not, chuck it out. So for me to represent my Heavenly Father accurately, I have to have a renewed soul. If my soul is not renewed, I'm not representing my Heavenly Father accurately. Only the part that has come through from the Holy Spirit to my soul represents him accurately. I can be very religious and yet claim to be spiritual, and I'm not representing him properly. That is a danger that we see. A renewed mind reflects heaven. It agrees with heaven. It realizes how God sees you as a person, how he loves you as a person. A renewed mind is not scared to submit to God. An unrenewed mind is scared. But a renewed mind is not scared, because you know God is for you and not against you. At the basic foundation is this question. Do you know that God is for you? Do you know that God loves you? If you don't have that basic foundation, all the rest will be scary. All the rest will be scary. So we have to believe that he loves us, that he's for us. Like I said, a renewed mind does not ignore sin. It doesn't condone sinful behavior. It doesn't. So we don't never have to be scared that liberty means living in sin. Liberty means we are now free to serve God the way he has designed it. A renewed mind is not a weak mind. Strongholds are simply a form of belief that I have adopted as truth. That's really a lie. That becomes a stronghold. Because I live by what I believe. I live by what I believe. We can have as much of God, we can have as much renewal in our soul as we want and desire. But it comes at a cost. You can have as much as you are willing to pay for. Intimacy is costly with God. You have to resist your own will. That's basically all you have to do. And listen to God. And trust God. A renewed mind is costly. There's a cost to it. A deep intimacy with God does not come simply because you would like to. It comes when you can't live without it, and you go after it, and you're serious about it. It takes time, and for me, it's a daily routine. To do it once a week isn't enough. If it is for you, great, but for me, it isn't. It's a daily routine that I have to practice. So what keeps us connected to God? What keeps our soul open? What feeds my soul? And I've got a few things written down here that we're all familiar with. It would be like worship, like David did. Be in silence, quieting ourselves down. Be still and know that I am God. It's feeding my soul. For some of you, it might be nature walks. That's fine. That's fine. How to hear God's voice is something that I strive for every day. Every day. Because I know the Holy Spirit wants to talk to me every day. And so if I need to open my sieve for it so that can happen. And I open it by believing it. That's how I open it, by believing it. Psalm 16:11 says, "You will show me the path of life, and your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, all pleasures forevermore." So he will show me where to walk. A renewed mind is an open mind to God. Just keep that in mind. It's always open. It's open to learn new things. It's always open to learn new things. Our soul needs constant feeding. If you stopped all your activity with the Lord, if you stopped all praying, all worshiping, all spending time with Him, you would become only soulish and not spiritual. And so we have to constantly feed ourselves. We're like a bag with holes. We have to constantly feed ourselves. If not, it will run dry. It will run dry. And like I said before, I believe a great way to renew your mind is to position yourself in His presence. I believe it's the greatest way to renew your mind. And I try to practice that all the time because I really, really believe in that. Because if I don't do that, then I become full of myself. I'm full of something. Then I become full of myself. So a daily routine is, for me, is very, very important. A renewed mind is not a rag to be trampled on. A renewed mind knows what they stand for and how to fight God's way. Often our past issues in life keep us from opening our sieve. We don't trust it. We don't trust it. Maybe you've been hurt in life. Maybe you've been abused in life. And you don't trust anyone, including God. And so you keep your sieve closed. And you don't dare ask the Holy Spirit. I've heard many people say, "What if I ask the Holy Spirit and the devil comes in? What do I do then?" And I ask them, "Where does that come from? Where does your lack of trust to God come from? Why do you think God, the evil spirit, can override God when you are a man or a woman of God, serving Him, trusting Him, talking to Him, having a fellowship with Him? Why do you think the evil spirit will all of a sudden take over?" It says the Holy Spirit wants to guide us to all truth. It says He will never leave us or forsake us, ever. He doesn't say, "Okay, evil spirit, you're coming. Okay, I'm going to pull aside." No, He says, He's living in here. This is His home. And if I am, my heart is out for God. David's heart, God says, David was a man after my own heart. God knows you personally, what you're after, your heart. So don't be scared that the devil will sneak in and take over. Trust Him with all your heart and lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He'll direct your path. It is safe to trust the Holy Spirit. And the only way I can ever be renewed in my mind if I allow the Holy Spirit to filter down into my soul. That happens over time. It happens quickly to those who are sold out for Him. If you as a person are totally sold out for God, it happens very quickly. I've seen young people, middle-aged people, older people grow very, very fast in the Lord, become very strong in the Lord because they were sold out. They had no doubt in their mind. The answer is here, not in life. And they grow rapidly. I love to see people grow so quickly that are not in Bible school or anything like that. It's on their knees, by themselves, spending time with God, and they grow leaps and bounds. You would think they would have been a Christian 10, 20 years, and yet they'll tell you they were born again a year ago. They're already serving God. They're already strong in what they believe. So this morning, I just want to encourage us. Be aware that our mind needs to be renewed. It doesn't happen automatically. It's a conscious decision. And I would just really encourage you, as you read or listen to the Bible, you can listen to 5 chapters in 15 minutes or less. It's not that hard. And you can always, as you do that, say, God, teach me. Tell me what you'd like to tell me today. And just listen. I think it's absolutely amazing how God is so willing to teach us, and yet we're so skeptical. Let's trust him. We love him. Let's also trust him. So let's pray. And while we pray, I'll ask the worship, not the worship team, the prayer team to come up front and get ready for prayer. Heavenly Father, we look to you this morning for our guidance. Lord, this morning we would like to say from our heart that we trust you. Some days I'm not so sure we do. Some days I'm not so sure we, our fruits would show that. And yeah, Lord, you are trustworthy. We are not, but you are trustworthy. Lord, I pray that all of us this morning would make a decision to trust you. We've accepted you, but to also trust you and move forward in trusting your word. If your word says that they that seek will find, that we would start seeking. If your word says you will guide us to all truth through the Holy Spirit, that we would trust it and start asking for it, looking for it, praying towards it. God, you are a good God. Your people are your special creation, and we are your people. So, Lord, thank you for always staying with us, never leaving us. And show us, all of us, individually, how we can renew our mind even more. How I can get rid of myself and more of you into me. That we will learn to allow ourselves to be washed by the word, cleansed by the word, get lies and unbelief out of our system through your word, because your word is alive and it's powerful. Lord, I thank you so much for all the work that you've done in individual lives already. There's a tremendous amount of work that you've done in individuals. I thank you for that, Lord. Lord, we want to position ourselves to be in a position where you can use us, where you can give us a revelation, we can understand it, we can receive it. Lord, you're looking for willing, open hearts. We want to be those. So, Lord, continue teaching us on how to renew our soul and our mind to line up with your perfect will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. Our hope is that it will encourage you and help you to live the life God has called you to. If you would like to contact us, you can find the info at our website, freedomworshipcenter.ca. Goodbye and God bless.